Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Nice suit, Nick Mitchell.
I try.
You must be talking about something important today.
We have a level of import that I have not yet reached, I think, during these little get-togethers that we've been having.
These tete-a-tetes.
Indeed.
Yes. Looks like Uncle Tom's Cabin.
I went to the theater.
You
did. I saw Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Very
for the
good.
First time in my life.
Well, yeah, you know, because we had on the show a couple weeks ago, Jason Jacobs, who with Tomei Cousin adapted this for the stage here at Point Park University's Conservatory Theater Company. So, how was your experience?
Their byline is so telling. The most popular play that you've never seen.
Yeah.
The most popular American play. I was floored that I hadn't seen it before. I read the program notes, learned that it had been around since 1852.
Mm-hmm.
From 1852 to 1925, if an American saw one play, it was that. And now the book is banned from libraries.
Well, do you think that's why it's not done? Because it's such a touchy subject. I mean, the subject of race has always been a volatile one in this country. But I mean, maybe that's why, you know, it just takes a lot of courage to do a show like this.
It does. But it is a story that is timeless and deserves to be told. And I think everyone should see it. And I'm not talking about necessarily the production level of this production, which was a good. It met all of the Point Park standards, but I almost couldn't judge it because I spent too much of my time wondering how I knew most of this story from The King and I.
Because it's such a rarity that it actually gets done, so it has few peers, I guess,
to compare it to. It was unlike things I'd say. The style in which they did it, it was a very storytelling. Actors were on stage. Doug Levine composed music for it.
Yeah.
There were some instrumentals. It was a play with some music. It was accented by the music. It was not in any way, shape, or form a musical. And then we got to Act Two, and it gets a little serious.
Well, yeah, I can imagine.
It's not Where Is Little Liza from the ballet scene of King and I, which, again, I repeat, that's the only way I knew it, and I'm embarrassed by that. I'm embarrassed
Good.
That I hadn't gone to read the book. I'm literary.
You need a little bit of humility.
I read Gone with the Wind in the seventh grade. I mean,
that's pretty good.
Cover to cover, the whole thing, like 1,100 pages.
And I just from what I recall from my conversation with Jason on the show, timeless.
Yes.
You know, still holds true today. For example, the setting is listed as America, past, comma, present, comma, future, question mark. Yeah.
They bookended the show with some of that timeless motif of when does this need to be, who does this apply to. I understood why it was there. I didn't need it. The story itself was already timeless enough for me. The history lesson and the realization that in certain areas of our culture these days, we're not that far removed from that same level of us versus them, and I hate to get so heady. I mean, the lighting was fabulous.
It's a heavy
Andy
show, man.
Lighting.
It's a heavy show. I mean, look, you got an angel wing poking out of chains. You know, you're not going to be laughing through the whole thing, I guess.
But, and I hesitate to point out anyone in the cast because it was such an ensemble, and that's not a cop-out to say that everybody was fine. No.
That is a compliment to...
It really worked together as a cohesive ensemble. Gosh, I just think that if you haven't seen this play, which you probably haven't, you would be well served to take this little history lesson.
Oh, yeah, because who knows when we may see the likes of it again.
It could it's be sort another of like, 75 years,
it's sort
like
of
Halley's Comet.
I was going to say Brigadoon. Isn't that, like, doesn't it come up from the mist,
that's
like, every, what, 100 years?
100 years.
Okay.
Probably more in line with what we do here than Halley's Comet. Get a music theater reference in there. A little, was it Lerner and Lowe?
Oh, probably not my favorite.
Wow. Well,
but yeah, it comes. So
we have to see it once.
You never know when this story may rise from the mist again, to be told in such a eloquent way. So again, that is Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is at the Pittsburgh Playhouse through April 16th.
Yes, indeed.
In the year 2017.
In the Richard Rao Theater, very intimate setting, yes. Very up close and personal.
Indeed. We'll look forward to seeing it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Back to laughs next week.
Back to laughs. As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.